The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you, okay? We want you to learn something valuable, and we want you to be entertained at the same time. And my name is Michelle Martinez.
I'm Christine Matthews. Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
I always try to plan out Sundays to be like relaxing or at least minimize to-dos.
Yeah.
That was a fail for this Sunday, but I'm going to try again next Sunday.
You know, I find it fascinating when if I spend at least half a day just like cleaning the kitchen or doing some laundry or watering the plants, I'm like, this is really nice. This feels really good. It's kind of, that's my relaxed time. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I try to, I guess, minimize the like tasks that take a lot out of me or that I am not into.
So you mean you plan?
Trying to plan like to not hours. Plan. Like, okay, from 12 to 4, just don't do anything. But that was not in the cards for me today. I'm like off to the races right after we're done with this.
You know, but this goes so well with what this episode is about today, because literally we are planning out
free time.
Free time.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't happen as planned, we're like, that didn't work. That was a fail.
We're going to have to replan.
We need to calm the F down, man. We need to like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Like today's my husband's day off, one day off. He usually doesn't have Sundays off. But this morning he was like, I think I'm going to take today off. And I was like, I wish you would have told me that because I would have planned accordingly. And instead I like busted my ass to make sure that everything would work with the boys and my schedule. Anyway, so he's like, sits down on the couch. Really, he literally was like, I have a day off, so I'm just going to sit here. And he started watching that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
It's a 3-hour movie and we've seen it already. But to him, he's like, I have a day off. I think I'm going to watch this 3-hour movie. Like, it was just a no-brainer. And I didn't say anything, but in my head, I was like, when was the last fucking time that I just, in the middle of the day, sat down on the couch and was like, I think I'll watch a 3-hour movie now.
You want to be able to do that, Christy. You're jealous.
I want it so bad. I can almost taste the like popcorn
do
I would
it.
Have.
God.
I don't. There's just not the time. There's not the time.
Christy.
I will schedule it in. Maybe in a month I'll be able to watch a 3-hour movie. But it was just so funny to be like, yeah, you know,
that's
I just want
nice.
A little historical cinema experience.
As Christy's like dusting
yeah,
around
I was like doing dishes.
And grabbing
like,
the Windex and like cleaning the screen of the television and like.
Just like, oh, just
clacking.
Enjoy
the
movie.
You're awful.
Sorry, guys. He's watching it right now. So I didn't ruin his Sunday,
good.
But you know.
You're going to learn so much about us in this episode. I really liked doing this. It was fun. Chelsea is so freaking sweet and lovely and easy to talk to. Surprisingly, Christy, she's a great listener.
Yes, yes. She also had a great pitch to
yes.
start this whole ball rolling for this
because
episode.
Because she knew us very well when she was writing that email to pitch. Like, it literally said, I know Christy likes it when you have a good pitch. And so here, let me give you these bullet-pointed conversation. I can't even say the word. Let me give you these bullet-pointed, very specific ideas that we can talk about
yeah.
on the podcast because I know Christy likes this. She knew us already.
Chelsea's pitch as a coach. She is a couples coach.
Couples coach.
Her pitch was very organized and also spoke to us because it is about personalities. We use the opposites attract analogy for our own marriages on this podcast, but also for our relationship.
And each other.
Yeah, the two of us. So her intro is, Chelsea is a couples coach designed to help you better communicate as a couple and be less stressed, particularly through the wedding planning process. The really fun part is that she uses this Myers-Briggs type indicator assessment to guide the conversation that she has with couples. And she sent us the test.
And we did it.
And the whole idea is like, we'll do it and she will work with us in a similar way that she works with couples to kind of tell us about us and also how we can play on each other's strengths.
Right, you know, how we can work well together and you know, run our podcast well together, or you as a couple, you know, this whole wedding planning thing can be really, using the S word here, stressful, and it always feels like one partner is more into it than the other, and then it becomes this whole like, you know, she doesn't want to get married or she doesn't love the wedding as much as I do, when in fact, that's probably not what it is. But rather, it's because you have different personality types and you perceive things differently than the other person.
And you communicate differently.
Totally different. You make decisions differently. One with your head, one with your heart. You know, like, so this was fascinating for Christy and I. We're not going to spoil what our personality types are. We'll let you hear that on this episode. But we were kind of surprised.
Yeah, there were some obvious ones where we're like, okay, that makes sense. Now that you've described it, that is both of us. But there were some surprises and also some similarities that we hadn't thought about that you could see as a hindrance in a relationship. Or if you flip it, you can work it out a little bit easier when you're trying to understand where is that person even coming from with that.
Mm-hmm.
This helps that kind of communication. So, and to give each other some grace and space and not always assume the worst. I know at the beginning of our marriage, Lance and I talked a lot, and I say talked, but I really mean argued. And it seemed like the same argument. And a lot of it was like, give me the benefit of the doubt that this was not done in malice or in neglect. Like, give me the benefit of the doubt. You're married to me. You love me. Like, you would give a coworker the benefit of the doubt. Give it to me. Like, give us some grace and space. That is something that we both said. And after, you know, almost 12 years of being married, have gotten to where that's inherent. So Chelsea works with couples to get them on the right path.
And she's not a therapist, by the way.
Right.
She is a coach. It's very different than, you know, you're not going to a therapy session and like getting help, you know, like you're actually going coaching with Chelsea and and by the way, she's engaged. She's planning her wedding. She's done this test for her and her fiance. So she's really just helping you understand the way each other does things, which I can tell you, girl, I wish I did this a long time ago with Jose Luis, because it would have saved a lot of arguments and a lot of like, he just doesn't love me, he doesn't care about me as much as he should. You know, it has nothing to do with that.
It was very eye-opening. We loved it. We could have talked to Chelsea
he's staring
for
at me right now.
Another. He just stands back there.
He's
like,
literally,
did she just say my name?
The door staring I will. At me. Go away. You make decisions differently than I do.
You guys are like one of the most on-level couples I have ever hung out with.
Ew,
on the
really?
Same level. Yes.
Oh.
You like, it's both inspiring and like mind-blowing in a way how you two can talk to each other and get the point across. Like, I was like, oh, that was one way to do it. They're really like, she really said that. And then he said that because I spent those 4 days at your house.
Yeah.
And they're moving on and they're fine. Like that back and forth would derail Lance and I for like days.
Wow.
And I was very, very impressed with the way the two of you, like, well, like I said, give each other a grace and space. And it's like, I have this to say. I have this to say. I disagree. Okay. Well, like, it was watching two people exhibit Like, this is a relationship that's been evolving for a long time, and we are on the same level now.
Oh, I'm glad it seemed that way. Well, thank you. All right, I'll let him know. He'll have to listen to this episode, though. I don't need to be telling him this. He needs to listen. He needs to know. Anyway, really quickly, I want to shout out that the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass is coming. If you're listening to this in real time, it's coming in March. If you're listening to this in the future, it is out and you need it. Go to our website, click on Masterclass, and we are going to teach you. We're going to be with you every step of the way on that camera, in the videos, in the tutorials. We're giving you our tools, our spreadsheets, our forms, our docs.
Templates, checklists, timelines. And, oh my gosh.
And they're very important to us. So, you know, if you buy it, you got to use it. And you're going to, I swear, you're going to love it. It's going to help you. It's going to help you and your partner plan this wedding the right way, which is our way, of course.
And it's a great value. We're really proud of it. If you use a fourth of the tools and ideas and pro tips in this,
you're winning.
You're going to save money. You're going to save time. You're going to save headaches. So your
wedding professional team, your vendor team will love you for it too. Okay. Let's get this going. Let's let the people listen. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Chelsea Weiner, and I'm a couples coach from San Diego, California. And I'm super excited to be here to talk with you all about how to take your relationship from good to great.
Nice. This is like
you prepared that.
Just totally prepared. You're a couples coach designed to help couples better communicate as a couple and be less stressed through the wedding process. We are all about it. Because the S word we don't like to mention during wedding planning, but it's okay. We can say it here, is stress. And it just doesn't have to be that way, man. So tell us more.
So I've seen some really strong couples come together when they're engaged and they feel like they have such a strong foundation, but it's one of the first times that they're really coming together to plan a large scale event that has, not only is it a wedding, but there's so many micro events, which I know that you all always talk about, and so many decisions that need to be made. And that decision fatigue oftentimes causes them stress. So seeing how can we better communicate? How can we get on the same page to really align ourselves to be a united team to move forward? I've seen couples really succeed in that way. So oftentimes they don't necessarily know that they need the services, but then once they are able to understand themselves better, and almost more importantly, understand their partner better, they're able to work more cohesively as a united front.
I love it.
That makes sense. We've talked before about how planning a wedding is the first thing sometimes, not just like you said, it's the first time they planned a large scale event. Yes, definitely. But also sometimes it's the first time that two people have actually worked together. Like up until that point, their work division was very like, this is what you do, this is what I do. I'll tell you about what I do, but I'm not asking for your opinion about it or your advice about it. This is my job, this is your job. And especially in really young couples, I feel like when they haven't had a challenge yet in their life to overcome together, like the challenges will come. Michelle and I always say marriage is harder than weddings, but the challenges haven't had one yet. They haven't had a hurdle to jump over together where you have to hold each other's hands and like do it together, or one of you is going to trip on the hurdle and fall on your face. And then your coach is going to be like, you're not running the 400 anymore. And you're going to be traumatized for life. That may or may not have happened to me in high school, but you know what I'm saying? It's the first thing to do together, period. That is not like fun, lovey-dovey, dating time.
Exactly. And that's what I've seen as well. Of one time I worked with a couple where one person was a doctor and one person was a teacher, and they like loved to tell each other about their days of work, kind of like what you're talking about. And then they came together to plan and realized that, you know, I don't want to sound stereotypical, but the doctor was very like logical and really wanted to just get to the point and wanted to figure out the pros and cons. And the teacher wanted to build up the background more and really like build the relationship with the vendors. And so they were butting heads because the doctor just wanted to make the decision and move on and not look back. And the teacher was like, well, let's just make sure that it was actually the correct method that we took, or make sure that there's no one else that's better out there. So kind of seeing where they came from when it, in regards to that, and also seeing the commonalities that they have of you both like working with people, helping people, you know, let's figure out some of the commonalities that you have to move forward. It was a really eye-opening experience for them. And like you said, weddings are the first of many things that you have to do as a couple. Once you start getting married, you're going to have to hopefully buy a house or figure out items with your children. And how can we make sure to set you up for success when it comes to every decision that you're going to need to make?
That's a really good point. It's like same destination, very different ways of getting there, but you have to go together. And then also the idea that like finding what you have in common in terms of how you process things and how you work can be the path, you know, they merge that way. Like we're both like helping people. I don't know that I would have come to just jump to that, like doctor, teacher, planning a wedding. They both like to help people. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with how they communicate with other people. So now they need to like aim that towards each other.
So is it that whole opposites attract, right? Like, is it better to be with someone that's like you or different than you? Like, or opposite than you? Have you gotten this question, or have you found, what is the answer?
What's the answer? Chelsea? Tell us right now and we'll make you famous.
That is probably one of the questions that I get the most. And oftentimes it's from couples who get different results on their assessment and they're a little nervous. And I always say that I think it's easier initially to be with somebody who's more similar to you because you kind of naturally understand each other. You bring out those sides in each other. Of course, if you're too similar, sometimes you get a little frustrated or annoyed when they do something that, you know, you would have done yourself, or, you know, sometimes you don't want to see that side of yourself. But I do think you have to work a little bit harder to understand each other better if you are coming from different personality types. Mm-hmm. But overall, my biggest thing is to just come from a place of respect and understanding. So yes, people can be complete opposites. And as long as they're willing to communicate, willing to be open and willing to learn about each other, they're going to be a very successful couple as well. So I always say,
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say it's easier if you're initially similar, but the respect piece is the most important part of it.
Are people surprised? Like, we're going to get to the personality test that we took, but I was surprised to hear, I know Michelle and I have a lot in common, but I was surprised to hear we were as close as we were with that test and those results. Do you find that people are surprised when they are told, like, actually you two are extremely similar?
So I think when you people read the descriptions of their type, they're actually like, yes, that does describe me, or I do that. And there's so many layers to the assessment, which I'm just going to talk right now about kind of the most surface top level. But there's even different types within the type that I'm going to talk with you about. So
types within the type.
When I was listening to your podcast just as a listener, and I knew I was going to be coming on as a guest, I started trying to predict which types you both were, which is always a fun and very dangerous game.
And could you?
Well, actually, Michelle, I was surprised by one of your letters, which we'll get into when we dive into the different types. And I can give you examples and reasonings why. So it's an interesting tool. But also people, you know, you want to take it very holistically. Like, who are you as an entire person? I know you both as wedding planners and, you know, who you are on the podcast. So I always try to tell people when they're going to be taking the assessment, think of you in every aspect of your life. And if you are very different when it comes to your work life versus your personal life, try to think which one comes most naturally and which one you're the most comfortable with. Because of course, things like work or even culture are really kind of interwoven within it and sometimes can affect our results if we're trying to appease or, you know, lean towards a certain type that we want to get.
Yeah. Like if you get ahead of the, you know, you're like, I think what this is trying to do is this, and I know I'm not that. So I'm going to answer it this way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this
Maybe,
is the,
I think
the
I might
Myers-
have been more honest on my test because I was so tired when I took it that I just was like, yes, yes. Yeah. You know, answering instead of like letting myself
think about it
as I was doing it. Yeah. Like,
and I know it can be, I know it can be frustrating, but that's why they ask so many times, because maybe you answered, you know, wrong the first time. And then by the 10th time they ask you, like you're saying, you're like, yes, I still do like to organize. I still do like to make my to-do lists.
And this is the Chelsea had Christy and I take the Myers-Briggs type indicator assessment.
Yes.
That's my husband's company does this for hiring management also. It's certainly not the deciding factor in any way. So when I was like, oh, they're asking me again. He was like, they're just making sure it's that like consistency.
Yeah. So I can even give a little bit of history about the assessment, because I think it's kind of interesting, especially in regards to a wedding planning or kind of couples arena. But I'll say first overall and then talk about the history, but overall, it's a really great tool to kind of create a common language amongst people. So it narrows it down by asking you a lot of different questions and really allows you, if you say extroverted or introverted in regards to this assessment, someone will really know what that means. So it kind of gives us a common language, which in the leadership world, that common language is really important, because it's kind of an abstract topic of, you know, my definition of leadership is probably going to be different from yours. So it does give us some of that common language that we're able to use. And as you mentioned, Lance used it for hiring for his company. Technically, like you said, it wasn't the only thing he did, which is great. You're not allowed to, of course, discriminate based on a personality type. So that's why you said it was one of many, many factors in a job application.
Yeah, and actually I know they use it, and I'm not even sure if it's pre-hire or for placement in teams, which would also make sense.
So it helps you kind of figure out the ways to succeed when you're working with other people, whether it's on a job team, whether it's with your partner. And even I have a lot of people do it as individuals to get to know themselves better, to figure out what environment they work really well in. So with the assessment, there are four different categories that it really analyzes you in. And then there's two different options. So they call them dichotomies, because you can get one versus the other, which I'll dive into what all of those are. And then after you take the assessment, there are 16 different types that you can get. So you've probably heard, of like the words extrovert, introvert, thinking, feeling, judging, perceiving, some of those before. So it'll give you a combination of what all of those mean. And individually, the letters, which I'll go through, are really interesting to learn about yourself. But then when I work with couples specifically, we also talk about the combination of what your letters mean and how they represent you as a person. And then more importantly, how they mesh or some of the struggle areas with your partner as well.
There's another one you do too, isn't there?
Yeah. So I give options to couples and they're able to do one, both, all, whatever they want. So I was able to become a Myers-Briggs certified practitioner. So in order to give this out, you are supposed to have the training, which I was lucky enough to get. So the Myers-Briggs type indicator, or MBTI is kind of what it's easier to be called, but the MBTI assessment is one that I love and am really passionate about. So that's one track. Gallup, the company Gallup organization, they also have Clifton Strengths, or it used to be called Strengths Quest. So I was able to become a strengths coach as well. I also meet with couples just kind of on a monthly basis, not guided by any sort of assessment, and we'll have a monthly coaching session. I started it because a lot of couples that were more religious did this with like rabbis or priests or pastors, where they meet with them to talk about some of that premarital items that maybe you didn't feel comfortable bringing up with your partner. Like what is our household going to look like, or our expectation with kids, or expectation with our relationship or finances, you know, some of the topics that might be a little bit uncomfortable to bring up out of the blue. So if someone else brings them up with you, it's a little easier to talk about. So I have that I do with couples as well. So those
you offer this as a premarital counseling almost, that, which I mean, my husband and I got married in the Catholic Church, and it's not like we're going to church every Sunday, but like it was important to my grandparents and all that stuff. Right. So like, and I was born, you know, I went to Catholic school for a short while, which is why I'm so crazy crazy. But we did do that premarital thing with the priest, with Father Flores. He was very nice. But I remember thinking, like, you know, I wouldn't have really normally done this because, like, it's, you know, in the church and all that. But it was actually a really good exercise in learning about things like compromise and, you know, these little things that we're like, okay, cool. We've got our little path now. We got it all figured out, which, of course, we did not. So I would think that doing something like this with you, Chelsea, would be way more like all encompassing and way more obviously more modern and, you know, current times and not influenced by any particular religion. I love this. This is so good. This is what we talk about with, you know, like people need to seek, you know,
we're big fans. Plus they seek you out rather than it being like, if you want to get married here, you got to do the 6 weeks of classes. And you're like, oh, good. So you get out of something like this, what you put in, if you're making the choice to go and you're paying someone and like giving up your date nights to spend with Chelsea in her office to sort all this stuff out, then I think you're more serious about getting something out of it. There's like a light at the, you're going for something. And I would think, I mean, it's a great idea, but I think sometimes the people that need help the most are the ones who don't know they need help. So, you know, let's look at ourselves and let's look at our friend. And maybe if our friend needs to be told, hey, have you thought about premarital anything? Might be
coaching.
Yeah.
It could be, we call it coaching, not counseling. Cause some people are like, I don't mind. I don't need that. There's nothing wrong with me.
And I do want to be careful to call it coaching and not counseling. I have my master's, but it's in educational leadership. It's not in counseling or therapy or marriage family therapy, anything like that. So I'm really careful with using the word coaching, and I definitely stay within my lane when it comes to that. So if there is anything that would require that, I feel like they would need to visit an actual therapist or counselor, I would refer them when needed. So I definitely wouldn't step out of my lane when it comes to that, which is why I like to say I take good couples and make them great. So I try to elevate them, maximize their relationships, and figure out how to set up that strong foundation and keep it really strong versus if someone is, you know, comes to me with larger issues, I can't necessarily fix it with a little personality assessment.
But healthy habits is the idea. And then they fly off, you know, away from the nest on their own to see how it can be implemented.
Exactly. And I think it's been really great so far, especially as somebody who is engaged. I gave it to my fiance. And so I've been trying to, while we do our wedding planning process, figure out these are my strengths, these are your strengths, or, you know, figuring out the timing of when to bring up some topics or when to have those wedding planning conversations. It's been a really helpful tool for me to use. So I love the new perspective that I've been able to take
on. This is great that you're going through it, the wedding planning process yourself, and then also exercising what you're, you know, preaching, right? What you're coaching people on. I think this is fantastic, and it's going to make you even better at it.
Exactly. I think so. And now I have examples of myself too, which I feel like people always like to hear, you know, some of the examples, and I can talk about other couples, of course, without saying their names or anything like that, but it's always fun to give yourself as an example too. So it's been a new can of worms I've been able to open, whether my fiance likes it or not.
And we also wanted to give a shout out to one of our partners and friend of the pod, and that is White Ink Calligraphy. We love the sisters that run this company, Claire and Townley. They love paper and the art of design, and we are so happy that we're just so happy that we know them.
I know. We met them in Nashville. Well, we met Claire in Nashville a few years ago when we were there for a speaking gig. And I remember being in her house, drinking wine. She wrote the Big Wedding Planning podcast in calligraphy. We hung out with her dog, Remy.
She's one of those people who within like 30 seconds, we were like, and
yeah,
we're friends.
We just
now.
Love you. You're adorable. We love you.
Together, Claire and Townley have 10 years of experience. We love their invitation suite. We love all of the Pinterest dreams that come true by working with them. So big shout out to whiteinkcalligraphy.com.
Yes.
You can find them on Instagram.
Stalk them.
Order from them. You can be anywhere and use Claire and Townley's talent for your wedding, whether it's calligraphy or digital, whatever it is, they're doing it all. Even signage for your wedding, like the whole nine peeps. So visit their website, whiteinkcalligraphy.com, or again, like Christy said, an awesome Instagram, White Ink Calligraphy on Instagram. Love you both, Claire and Townley. All right, so let's get down to Christy and I as a couple and our Myers-Briggs assessment results.
Sure. 4 years married with the podcast now.
Yeah, yeah.
Six years dating before that.
Right. You've lasted longer than some other couples out there.
See, so
We had a courtship. We had a little separation, right? There was a time where we were on different coasts and not as in touch as much. We've kind of coming back together.
Long distance. It was a long distance relationship. Roller coaster. It still is.
So first, I think it would be good to kind of go over the different types, all the options, and then I'll let you know which ones you all are. And if you have examples that you can think of while I'm going through these, of course, let me know. And I have some examples working with other couples, or like I was saying, working as somebody who's engaged myself that I can intersperse throughout.
Okay.
So I was saying that there's the four different types that you can get, and each type has two different options, which I'll call dichotomies. And Christy, I know you mentioned it earlier, like, which one do you prefer? So I like to preface by saying that this is going to be a preference that you have. We have both of the dichotomies within us. So of course, you'll be able to have times where you're extroverted and introverted, but it's just whichever one you prefer the most. So with that, extrovert versus introvert is the first one. And I like that the assessment starts with this, because these are terms that a lot of times we use just within society in our everyday language, but I think we've actually been using them incorrectly. So instead of thinking extroverts are loud and they like the attention and introverts are quiet and shy, it's actually not what those words mean in this context. Instead, the overall kind of slogan is, it's where we focus our attention or where we get our energy from. So when I first heard that, I was like, I don't fully know what that means. But so people who have a preference for extroversion, they like to direct their attention and their energy outwards. So they get really energized by interacting with other people. They like those conversations, those interactions. It helps to build up their energy and makes them feel kind of fulfilled at the end of that interaction. Whereas people who have a preference for introversion, they prefer to be inward, more reflective. They like fewer interactions with kind of more intimate interactions with fewer people. So my favorite analogy is, if you think of a balloon, and when we wake up in the morning, we have, as an extrovert, we would have a deflated balloon because we had a full night's sleep, we're starting the day. And each person that you talk to, the balloon kind of fills up more and more. And by the end of the day, you have a full balloon and you feel very energized and ready to tackle the next task. And the opposite is for introverts. So after a full night's rest, they have a full balloon, and then each person that they talk to kind of sucks out that energy or sucks out that air from all those interactions. And by the end of the day or by the end of the interaction, they need that time to recharge, rest, and unwind before having that future interaction. So I like to think about this when I work with couples. So I'm an extrovert and my fiance is an introvert. So it's been really interesting to think about needing that time to re-energize. As I mentioned, sometimes bringing up wedding planning, I don't want to just barge in and talk about it with him all the time after a big interaction that he's had. He needs that time to rest and recoup, you know, to make sure he's in the correct mind space.
Totally.
One of
the biggest, not arguments, because it was like an ongoing argument, you know, the thing where you're like, we're fighting about the same thing as last year. With my husband, one of the biggest like things I needed to learn was that when he gets home from, you know, a 10-hour shift, a 12-hour shift on his feet, like I have to still give him like a good 45 minutes to an hour once he's home of me like not, hey, did you think about this? Did you do this? Are we doing this? Did we buy those tickets? Do you want me to? I can make you an appointment. And now with the kids too, not that I'm like, make sure your father has a calm home when he gets home, because that's not it. It's just that I try to lessen anything that feels burdensome.
Does that mean he's an introvert? Because the way that you just explained it, Chelsea, I'm like going on in the morning. And then by the time the end of the night, I'm like, like if I get tired, I'm like, I even get like fussy with my kids and my family. I'm like, meh, I just want to sit in my bed with the blankets and like watch Netflix. So that makes me feel like, well, I always thought I was an extrovert, but maybe I'm an introvert.
So you both are extroverts when it comes to the assessment. So I think if you try to think about an interaction that you've had, and yes, after a long day, that's why I said we both have some within us as an extrovert as well. After a long day, I'm like, I can't wait to watch TV and unwind. But while you're having those interactions with people, you feel more and more energized. So maybe when you're meeting with a couple, you know, your potential clients, and after you meet with them, you feel really fulfilled or you liked those interactions. And maybe if there's a day as an extrovert when you don't have many interactions, which during COVID, unfortunately, has happened to a lot more people where they're not just naturally having small talk or those conversations anymore, you feel a little bit drained and down because you don't have those interactions. But yes, everyone needs time to sleep and relax and rest and recharge. It's more just a little bit more that introverts will need that time more so, and they'll need it in order to actually function and move on, not just like be crabby or not crabby, which we all get crabby after those long days.
Okay, so we're extroverts.
And one thing I really love, I was working with a couple a few months ago, and they were trying to figure out their whole wedding weekend plan. And one, again, was an introvert and one was an extrovert. And the extrovert was like, I want to do a welcome brunch and I want to do a at the bar the night before and then the wedding. And then they can visit us, you know, up until 2 a.m. and then have the, the goodbye farewell brunch. And the introvert was like, by
that
the time
horrible.
The wedding, yeah, I'm going to be so exhausted. So it's a good thing to keep in mind, even when you're trying to figure out your daily plan of, or, you know, your weekend plan or whatever that looks like for your wedding, is you need some of that alone time as a couple or even by yourself to be able to recharge and to enjoy it. Cause if you're on for, you know, 4 or 5 days straight, it can be really exhausting and you'll end up resenting it. Like, oh, I guess I'll go to my farewell brunch, which of course you don't want to feel.
Yeah. And then your partner is like, you were in such a bad mood. We paid a lot of money for that and you kind of ruined it.
Is it because you don't want to marry me?
Yeah.
Hey, hey, sorry to interrupt ourselves. But we just had to take a moment and tell you that the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, it's almost ready, everybody.
Winter is coming.
Oh, no. It's almost ready. And we want you to know that if you are super interested in this masterclass or want to find out what the hell we're talking about, go to our website. Christy, what's our website?
TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
And right at the top, there is a handy-dandy bar that says...
Is that a bar?
It's like a bar the way. It's not a bar that you go to drink at, although that's an idea.
Or dance on.
There's a link to just enter your email and then we will communicate with you. We're not going to give it to anyone. We're just going to let you know
what's happening.
When this thing is actually available to purchase, which will be very soon.
Super soon.
We're so excited to share it. We can't wait to see what you think. And we're here to help you plan your wedding in a totally different way. So check it out.
Yeah, we want to know if you're interested. So go to our website, click on Masterclass, and put your little email in there. We're not going to share it with anybody. It's just for us. Okay, thanks. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
We did get a few emails, and I want to like just really quick, because this is wedding planning stuff, where a bride in this case, or several cases, was emailing to say like, we're trying to plan our actual timeline, maybe for Friday and Saturday, but definitely for the wedding day. My partner struggles with anxiety, specifically around crowds and big groups of people. She doesn't like to be the center of attention. So what can we do to plan our wedding day in order for us both to have the best day? FYI, we do have a big family and it is, you know, by design, a big wedding, which my partner says they're down for, but I just know it's going to take some finessing. And we always recommend some scheduled downtime, but I did write back and say that my advice as a planner, and I'm curious to know if what you think, tell me if my advice was good advice, was to think about the best days you've had together, whether it was on, you know, a random road trip or that day that you guys just whatever, and you remember it being a really great day. And you're not going to try to recreate that day because it's your wedding. It's going to be a bigger, more elevated event, but you can take some of those elements that made it very successful, like a little bit of vitamin D in the morning, or he always likes it when we, you know, have time, just the two of us to like literally do crosswords and not speak to each other. Something that like is the key in some ways to like, we're setting up a great day, a successful great day. Think about those elements and try to frame your wedding day around some of those like best day things that you do together, if possible. And I think that will make an anxious person feel a little bit more relaxed going into it.
Yeah, I think that was a great answer. And that's what I try to get at with the couples I work with as well, is if you have anxiety, a wedding is going to be the pressure cooker. You know, that weekend is going to be an anxiety filled weekend. So I always try to tell couples, kind of similar to what you were saying, Christy, is think of what do you enjoy doing both as a couple and individually. So think of those solo singular events that you like to do, and think of your favorite events, like more intimately, that you like to do as a couple, whether it's going to your favorite coffee shop or watching your favorite Netflix show before you get ready, and try to incorporate some of those into the wedding day, or if that's too much stuff to do on the day, the wedding weekend. So the next one is sensing versus intuition. And for intuition, we use an N, since we already use the I for introvert. So on your assessment, if you see that, it'll be S versus N. And so this is the type of information that we take in and that we trust. So when we think of sensing, I want you to think of your five senses. So if you'll trust it or believe it, if you can see it and taste it and touch it and feel it. And for that, they really like to think about the concrete facts and what currently is and what we're dealing with, what we're looking at. For intuition, if you think kind of the word intuition, it's liking to think about the possibilities, the big picture, some of those insights that we have, thinking of what could be, the future. And really, oftentimes we'll hear people say, like, I just have a hunch that this is going to turn out this way. So with that, a lot of times, I see that couples sometimes struggle with it because the person who has sensing just likes to come up with those decisions. They like to see what's here, see what's now. And people who have a preference towards intuition are really creative and visionary and like to see, you know, with my budget, what can we really do? How can we elevate this or stretch it out? And the sensing people are like,
okay, outside the box, maybe.
Stay on track. Exactly. Okay. So again, both of you were the same. Both of you were sensing, but Michelle, this is where I was a little bit surprised.
Me too.
Of course. Yeah. So specifically, I remember when you all were talking about COVID, Michelle, you were like, everything happens for a reason. We'll figure it out. We'll go with the flow more. So I was more surprised that you were sensing on this one. But I think if we think about kind of what it is and the type of information that we trust, you still like to have more of those concrete facts, because I think as a wedding planner, you probably need those decisions to be made. You need your couples to make the decisions, and that's how you can continue to plan and move on.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you got that more, but I was surprised because we're like, okay, I have a feeling everything will be okay by this date, and then that's how we'll move on.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a coping mechanism that we use, of course.
Yeah.
Just as humans, not having an end date to something is really stressful. So I have seen that COVID's made that impact a lot more of, if we all knew back in March or whatever that, you know,
we'd be here.
Yeah. That by February we'll still be here, but people are getting vaccines or, you know, whatever that looks like, even if that's a longer timeline than what any of us wanted, that sanity behind an end date is really helpful. So
right. We would have been prepared for that. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Wrap your brain around it. Interesting.
Interesting. One's interesting when you framed it as like facts versus intuition in this side, because I consider myself really creative, not with like I'm so artsy, not that kind of creative necessarily, but like creative problem solving and like think on my feet creative. Mm. But in order to make decisions and somebody else is giving me info, I'm very much like cut to the chase. What's the, you know, P's and Q's about this, or what's like the basics so that we can make a decision and then get creative within the decision that we've made, rather than like, I just really feel, you know, I'm not so touchy feely with like, I just have a feeling, or, you know, that kind of.
And I like, kind of am, I feel kind of like.
I would say that, yes.
I know, I was surprised with all the yoga and, you know, meditation and all of that. I'll be honest, I was surprised when I saw your results on that one. So I'll move on to the next one, which is another one I think people are a little bit more familiar with, and it's thinking versus feeling. So that's the way that we make decisions. So a lot of times we'll hear people say like, I wish my head and my heart would be in communication, or I think, you know, make a decision with my head, or I make a decision with my heart. So that's kind of what this is getting at. So people who make who prefer thinking, they make their decisions based on very impersonal and objective logic. So they see the decision that needs to come, they see what needs to happen, and they'll just make that decision. And people who have a preference for feeling, they really think about the relationships, the people, the impact that it'll have, and they're a little bit more empathetic when it comes to needing to make that decision. And a lot of times they like to be nostalgic, or they like to kind of think about the future impact that something will have. So Christy, I know you always say like, keep those wedding vows, write them down, or keep those keepsake boxes. And that's very much of like a quote unquote feeler mentality, because you like that nostalgic aspect of it to be able to come back to it and reflect back on that. So a lot of times figuring out the head versus the heart, again, when we have couples that are two different types, this can be difficult. And one couple that I was working with, it was two men. And so one groom was really trying to figure out the vendors to work with. And he was having those Zoom meetings to talk with different vendors. And his partner was like, you need to make the decision and tell all the other vendors that you're not moving forward with them. And the first person was like, but I feel so bad, you know, not choosing them. I don't know how to say it. And then the other one was like, just make the decision. You need to tell them, it's good for them, but they didn't want to hurt that person's feeling. So, you know, sometimes even when we're figuring out who to invite to our wedding, who not to invite, who to work with, we can see this head versus heart, or this thinking versus feeling mentality, which a lot of times the thinkers are better at just cutting the drama, making the decision, saying, we said no kids. That's the decision we're going with. Move forward. Versus the feeler thinks of those relationships and likes to maybe individualize or customize of, okay, you know, with this one scenario, we're going to give you an exception. And obviously that can lead to more issues and drama in the future. But sometimes
I think people
feel bad.
A good partnership or marriage, I think, would probably be served well by, you know, one partner thinker, one partner feeler. Now, like sometimes you need a little push from the thinker to be like, okay, you're right.
Or I think that's where opposites are good.
Yeah. The thinker needs a little push from the feeler, right? To be like, hey, before you just like burn the whole house down with your big decisions, think about, you know, how our neighbors are going to feel, or what, you know, whatever. So I think it sounds like it would be good to have a little bit of both in a partnership.
What do you think you are, Christy? What do you think you are?
I think she's going to say we're both feelers.
Is she? Guess. Are you?
Yes, you both are.
That's so annoying. You had a feeling?
I had a feeling she was going to say that.
And my partner is a thinker and I'm a feeler. So it's been kind of fun to see where that comes in. And what I was talking about, even with the guest list, you know, a lot of times I think couples struggle with, where do we draw the line? Where do we cut it off? I'm part of a friend group. And if I invite one person, I can't not invite the rest of the people.
Is this in reality a challenge you're having, Chelsea, with your partner, that because you're the feeler and he's the thinker?
Yes. During COVID, my silver lining is we're having a very small wedding. So most people are not on the guest list in general. And we're working around that. We compromised because I really didn't want anyone to feel left out. So we hired a videographer to be able to stream it. So it'll be live streamed on YouTube where basically unlimited number of people can join. So that was the compromise that we made, where no one is getting a no. The default is everyone's getting a YouTube like live link,
yeah,
with just a few people coming in. Good. But yes, he's like, no, that person's not coming. We have to draw the line somewhere. And I'm like losing sleep over it. And we figured that out and figured out how do we compromise? How do we best work together to make sure I'm not feeling like I'm hurting people's feelings and he's not just cutting people left and right. So it was a good area to figure out that compromising too. And like you said, I think if we were both the same type, we would either have
go in circles.
List of, yeah, mm-hmm. 400 people or a guest list of 5 people. Depending
so I think
on.
People, when they email us these questions, Christy, I think we're able to, because I've been answering listener emails, like I'll read their emails and I'll be like, oh my gosh, they're thinking so much into this. Or, and I'll just be like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Or they're thinking too much about other people. They're thinking right. too much about their family. They're thinking too much about what their mom thinks. They're thinking too much about expectations. And our advice is usually like, hey, do you, this is about you. I think a feeler has the tendency to make it about other people more.
Yeah.
And a thinker might err on the other side of that, which is yeah. another thing we talk to couples about is like, don't forget your wedding day is also an important day for
but
your
family. But we're feelers. Yeah.
We so are, it's but easier our husbands might say be it. Thinkers.
I think he's definitely a thinker. I think he and I are so friggin' opposite.
And, even thinking about trying to get the date of your wedding for everyone to be able to attend or planning a bachelor, bachelorette, bridal.
You can't please party. Everyone.
Exactly. And making sure everyone can attend who needs to. And as somebody who's a feeler, that person would probably feel very inclusive and feel like they want everyone to be there. But as someone who's a thinker, it's like, you need to decide this and move on. You can't please everyone, kind of like what you're saying.
Are there things you can like grow out of a little bit or get better at? Because I think Michelle and I are better partners now than we were 4 years ago. Like that's an evolving partnership.
Yeah, there's definitely tools. And honestly, this assessment is one of them, because if we start naming some of our behaviors of, okay, in this moment, I'm overreacting, I'm feeling too much, let me figure out some of that logic I can put behind it or put it in perspective. Knowing this information is a tool that can be really helpful. But other than that, just telling people how you're feeling, getting those feelings out there. And then of course, just life experience. So now if that happens again, you're like, well, last time I survived. I'm okay. I wish I did it differently. And next time I will do it differently. So some of those.
There you go. So you can learn. We can learn behavior. We can
the leopard
get
can change
better.
Its spots.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. And then number 4.
Yes. So the last one, and it's funny, Christy, that you kept using the word judging, because it's judging versus perceiving. And so this is how we organize our world. And before I start, I always want to say, judging in today's society obviously has a bad reputation. You don't want to judge people, be a judger. And I want you to eliminate that sense of the word judging and more so think of like a courtroom. And when there's a judge, they want order in their court. They follow a very organized structure. So when I say judging, I want you to think more of making sure things don't get unruly and items like that. But when people have a preference for judging, they want their external world to be really organized or orderly, and they look at the world and figure out what decisions need to be made based on the situation at hand. Versus people who have a preference for perceiving, they just like to experience the world. They don't want to organize it. They look at the world and more see it as a place to be explored. They like to be spontaneous. I see the fear in your eyes when I say that.
That was so many questions were about that.
It was, exactly. And you're like, I feel judged. And I'm like, that's funny, because the type you got was judging. So you both are J's for this.
Okay, yeah.
And when you talk about your like to-do lists or task lists or your iPads with the day of schedule or anything like that, that would all fall under this category versus people with perceiving. I would make a bold statement and say that there's probably not that many wedding planners that are perceiving, since I think those
I think so.
The task list would be one of the driving factors. But if we had a wedding planner who was perceiving, they would more say like, if we're 30 minutes late, it's okay. We'll go with the flow. You know, we'll have this spontaneous event that would happen versus I think if you all wanted to have what seemed like a spontaneous event that came out, you would probably still plan it behind the scenes. So if you're like, we want a flash mob, but we're going to plan the flash mob to come out right after cake cutting, like to you, that would be planned, even if it seems spontaneous to others.
Yeah.
And so with this one, a lot of times when we do, when we think about honeymoons or planning our vacations after our weddings, I see a lot of struggles with people that might be different types. So my favorite example to share with this one is a couple was planning their honeymoon. One person, they were going to Hawaii. One person wanted to fully plan it, you know, before the wedding. Of course, they wanted all the details to be figured out, the flights to be booked, the hotel reservations on OpenTable to be made. And the other person was like, let's get there and ask all the locals what they want to do. And the first person, the couple was like, we're going to be sleeping on the beach. Like, this is not going to work out for us. And that was a point of contention or a point of stress for them. But on the other hand, for something like COVID, having that more go with the flow, like perceiving mentality can be really helpful, because if you have everything all planned out and your plans change, it can be kind of a blessing in disguise to have that very spontaneous mentality to say, let's scratch those plans and we're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. But with me, I'm judging, as are the two of you. So we're all J's. I think it's funny, right when I got engaged, I was like, I'm going to start wedding planning. I literally downloaded found your podcast on the car ride home from our engagement. And I think it's funny when people are like, just enjoy being engaged. Don't do any planning for a while. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. That's not in my personality style.
I know. Yeah. We had that episode where we're about firsts, and a lot of people's input on that, like Matt Gourley said, enjoy it or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe don't tell anyone for a while.
Yes.
He was like, keep it to yourself and like enjoy the secret and be really deliberate about who you tell first and second. Like, I think they told his grandmother.
His grandmother was first, the first.
Because he was like, I just wanted that reveal to feel just as awesome as the little secret that we had, or the big secret in that case.
Yeah.
And I think it's really telling too, because a judging person or Jay wants to let loose, but needs like the proper circumstances in which to let loose.
That's how I am. Like, I am too.
But like I want to have a great time if I know that we have a hotel to go to when we get there.
Right. And I'm not going to have to drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to drink. I'm going to make sure I have a glass of water between each drink. And I want it to be a gay bar so I could dance with boys and not have to worry about anybody hitting on me.
Prolong the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it more fun. And we know that about ourselves. So what's the letters for the most successful marriage?
What's the combo?
Combination.
Give us the password.
Like the winning combo on someone's dating profile, they have to say, I'm only looking for this type. And there definitely isn't one. There's a lot of research or information, since this is such a widely used assessment. There's so much research and sub-research on them. So you can Google like, what's the best type to work with you or for your type specifically. But I never like to say that, because I don't want people to feel like, you know, I'm not with the person who's the correct type for me. So I think sometimes we can even surprise ourselves or balance ourselves, kind of like what you were saying, of sometimes being with someone who's different from us can be really helpful. So there's examples of every single type that's been successful, and there's examples of every single type that unfortunately has not been, been as successful. So there's no one winning formula, unfortunately, or it would be very easy.
But it is working to your strength, playing to your strengths, and then figuring out your partner's strengths as well, so that you can play to those when you need to, and work together.
And having that knowledge and information about each other, whether you're the same or if you're complete opposites, is what's helpful. So maybe the first time that you travel together, Christy, you're like, leave me alone. Like, I just want to be quiet in my hotel room. And Michelle was like, party pooper, you're not coming out. And now after knowing, you know, the experience that you've had in the real world and knowing your personality types, you can better plan and better prepare of how to have that more successful cohabitation or trip together, mm-hmm. or you know, that those nights out will look a little different and you'll be able to handle them a little bit better.
Yeah. You know, you led the whole conversation, and we'll circle back like any good improviser does with the respect that two people have for each other goes a lot farther than knowing that your personality types exactly fit the puzzle piece of your partner's. That mutual respect and like, we want this to work. I am crazy about you. I respect you. I'm confident we can make this work, or we will make this work. And in time, we'll get better at this. I think like, I think I react better or more appropriately or differently when Michelle calls me now with anything, good news, bad news, excited, otherwise, than I did 4 years ago. And that is because I've learned, but it's also because I love her so much. The respect is there. So it's like the reactions can be matched. I can match her energy sometimes when I know that that's important. I don't know that I would have thought about that 4 years ago, like thought outside of my own feelings for something. Mm. So I think a lot of being married, and Michelle and I are both married to our husbands, we've been together for a while, there is a level of respect that makes you think about your own reactions or think about your next move in a conversation a little bit more and a little bit more empathetically than you do at the beginning of a relationship, for any long successful relationship. So I really like that this whole thing was kind of prefaced with that. Like, there is no perfect combo. It's more about how much the couple, you know, cares, really.
And like Chelsea said, like, this is going to help you better communicate as a couple and be less stressed through the wedding process. Chelsea, you're a genius.
I'm solving everyone's problems.
Yeah.
No, I wish it was that easy. But yes, I think it is really important. And sometimes I have to reground couples and say, we're working for the same common goal.
You're on the same team.
The end result. You're on the same team. We want you to just be cohesive and present yourself as a really cohesive couple. The end result is you're going to get married, but let's enjoy the process along the way. Let's not, you know, bicker or stress about it along the way, because that'll make it a more enjoyable process. The end result, you're going to enjoy more, and you're going to set yourself up for success when it comes to those other important decisions in your life. So I found that, again, couples that maybe were reluctant or didn't know that they needed this type of help have really come and seen that it affects more aspects in their lives than just figuring out how to do this when we're thinking about a wedding specifically.
Yeah, I think it sets you out on the right path, because, you know, like, there's like you said in our onboarding meeting, there's like, this is a really big project that this couple is working on together, this wedding planning. Like, you guys, it's a huge project, okay? I don't care how many guests you're inviting. It's a huge project. And then on top of that, you got like these two families merging, and like, you know, what if I don't really like, you know,
emotions,
your mom.
Emotions and baggage.
Yeah. So this is just... this is brilliant. I love it. What else do we need to talk about, Chelsea? Because I feel like you highlighted so many great things here, and I want to make sure that we communicate. You're a communications specialist, yes. Aren't you? Or what are you? What you? You have a lot. You've got quite a high education.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, I think even similar to what you were just saying, Michelle, as I've done this assessment not only with couples, but they've involved their parents in it or their family members in it, where they're like, you know, I am a Texas bride. My parents are really the ones that are making the decisions because they're paying for the wedding, or that's kind of the culture that we're experiencing. And we've involved their parents in it. And that's been really helpful when it comes to the planning process as well. So I've seen it work to make that cohesive unit, not just couple, I guess, but more of that family unit. And it's been really helpful to figure out how we can make this a more enjoyable process for everyone. And then I've also done it for fun with like a bridal party, a bachelorette party, things like that, where they've given the assessment to all the people in the room. And we've been able to figure out how even just as friends, we've been able to work this through. It's a fun, especially virtual, it's a fun project to be able to work on with people.
All right, cool. So
good job. Good pitch.
Yeah.
Well Chelsea, thought out.
Coming in strong. Thank you.
Want to be a guest? Be like Chelsea.
So Chelsea, tell everyone where they can find you and, you know, all this wonderfulness.
Sure. So my website is chelseacoachesyou.com. And so that's where you'll see the information on couples. I also do it as an individual. So, or with individuals. So if maybe your partner doesn't want to necessarily do it with you, but you're interested in it, we can work on you as just an individual. And then I also do it for corporate or organizations, but obviously not focusing on that with you all. So chelseacoachesyou.com. You can email me at chelseacoachesyou@gmail.com. And my Instagram, I use it more personally. So if you want to see my own wedding process, it's chelsea_winer. But I do want to offer a discount code for the podcast listeners. And so this is forever, you know, it doesn't matter when you're listening to this. So if it's 2025, I'll still honor the promo code, but that'll be promo code Big Wedding, and that'll get you 15% off of the services. So I'm excited for that one. And the last thing I wanted to say is this makes a really great gift. So I have an option to gift it to someone. So when you fill out the contact form on my website, you'll say if you're purchasing it for yourself or if you're purchasing it as a gift. And so with the price point, it would definitely be great to go on the registry or have someone purchase it for you if you didn't want to purchase it yourself. So I've seen a lot of parents or like a best man, maid of honor, go in and purchase it for a couple as well.
What a great idea. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chelsea, thank you so much for reaching out to us. And do you have any wedding planning questions?
No, you all have been so helpful. And I have an awesome wedding planner. So I suggest everyone get a wedding planner and listen to this wedding planning podcast.
Oh, you got a wedding planner. You're good.
Yes. Oh,
thank you, Chelsea. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.